John chapter 12. We are going to look at John chapter 1, verse 12. Sorry about that. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To all who received him. This is talking about the new birth. To be born again. When you are born again, something happens supernaturally to us. And that supernatural action is something that you can't do it. You can't transform yourself. You can't take your old nature and give it a new nature. You can't take your old DNA and give a new DNA. But God can. In fact, when we read this, he says, as many who received him. As many as received him. Receiving Christ. What happens when we receive Christ? And so, for those of you that have been a Christian for a very, very long time, this will be an encouragement to you. Those that have been a Christian for a shorter time, this will be also an encouragement to you. Because I believe it's going to reveal some things to you. I thought about entitling this message, Born That Way. Born That Way. When you are born again, there is a nature that God deposits on the inside of you, in your spirit, man. Now, just kind of tying in with our experiential worship today, Pastor Christine was talking about your spirit, man, right? Your soul, right? And your body. You see, every one of those has a voice. When you've been born again, your spirit, man, becomes alive unto God, and you are transformed. Yes. The Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, after I got born again, I still woke up and felt the same way. That may be true, because that's your soulish realm. Your body didn't change. You looked in the mirror the day before you got born again and the day after you got born again, and they still looked the same. Right? Your eye color didn't change. But your spiritual DNA did change. You were born a different way. You were born again. It is a supernatural birth. I don't think that we've taught enough about this in the church world. I'm talking about the church world at large. We've not talked enough about our identity in Christ. Believe me, the world is talking a lot about identity. They're talking a lot about identity, and they've got a lot of interesting ideas. But I'm going to tell you that God has an answer for every one of those identity issues.
Yes, he does.
In the Word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, he does.
And it's a compassionate answer. It is a loving answer, because he gave us a different DNA. You were born a different way. You were born into the kingdom of God. And when we look at this, it says, to as many as received him, that means you've received the gift of what Jesus did on his death, burial, and resurrection, what he did on the cross. You received that gift of eternal life, that gift that takes your old nature and gives you a new nature. The Bible talks about having that you're no longer dead, but now you're alive to Christ. That we were once dead in our sins, but now we've been made alive in Christ. You have a different DNA. Something different happened to you on the inside. That difference is in your spirit, man, your soulish realm, and your body realm still have to be renewed. The Bible tells us here, as many as received him, to those he gave the right, in this translation, to become children of God. The Bible, when we look at the original Greek language here, is that he gave us the authority. Say authority.
Authority.
authority. It's a position. It is a positional authority. It is a right to become a child of God. Now, if you were born into a royal family, there are certain royal privileges that come with being royal. And you know your royalty. You walk into a room and you're royalty. There is something about that. We Americans kind of fixate sometimes on British royalty because, you know, they're in the news all the time. Oh, look, there's the princess. Oh, look, there's the prince. You know, and it kind of like draws your attention to it. How much more should we understand our royal nature that Jesus gave us? We are talking about the Son of God coming to die for us. We receive that forgiveness. We receive that life, that Zoe, the God kind of life on the inside. And it gives us the power to become children of God to those who believe in His name. In His name. In other words, in that name that has authority. In that name that has authority over sin. That has authority over wrong thoughts. That has authority over things that are contrary to God's word. That are contrary to God's will. That are contrary to God's way of living. You see, our spirit man has been made alive unto God. But now it is up to us to renew our minds. It's up to us to actually take what we know from a spiritual rebirth, go into the Word of God, and renew our soulish realm. Renew our body. How do you renew your body? Well, you put it under. You don't let it tell you what to do. If you don't believe that your body has a voice, decide when you get home today that you are going to not have dessert. I'm just not going to have dessert. In fact, you could say, well, I'm going to fast. And then you'll start listening. And did you know your refrigerator probably has a voice too? Actually, what it is your refrigerator is your body is more like a ventriloquist for your refrigerator. And your refrigerator says, but there's some nice ice cream in there.
Come on.
With some chocolate fudge that's in the refrigerator. And what happens is your body has a voice. Now, years ago when I learned this through my wife, she, you know, I remember sometimes I'd get really tired or whatever, and she learned something called the HALT system. I don't know where she learned it. Oh, she learned it from Randy. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Are you hungry? Eat something, right? Are you angry? Figure out why you're angry, right? Are you lonely? Call a friend. Are you tired? Go take a nap. Well, what is it? Your body has a voice. Your body does have a voice. And there is something called self-care. You do have to take care of some of those natural things. You can't not sleep for 48 hours and feel like you're going to be okay. But when we let that voice become the dominating voice force in our life, we will miss out on all of God's best. That's when we'll start to say, well, I'm angry because I was just born that way. Hello? No, we have a renewal process, a mind renewal process. Well, you know, I was a worrier because Aunt Susie was always a worrier. And so we come from a long line of worrying. It's in my family tree. When you got born again, you switched family trees. You got a different DNA. There's a different identity that you can identify with. My identity is in Christ. Are you getting this? You see, We gotta be careful with some of these things. Now turn over with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. This will bless you today. Hallelujah. Don't unhook. This is good. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 in verse 6. Colossians 2 in verse 6. He says this, and raised us up together. Verse 6 of chapter 2. No, here we go. Yeah. And raised us, verse 5. When we were dead in trespasses, made alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved. And raised us up together. Colossians, I'm sorry. No wonder I'm getting ahead of myself. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians. Here we go. Sorry. Thank you, Jesus. As you have restored, that's the one. Thank you. There we go. As you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of who? Men. According to the basic principles of the world, but not according to Christ. Ooh. So if you've received Christ, you were born a different way. You don't have to give in to all the other junk. You don't have to give in to the voice of your soul. I think, I feel, I want. You do not have to give in to the voice of your body that says, oh, this is what I want. No, this is called mind renewal. And if you have a dirty mind that needs to be washed, then you let it be washed by the Word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I'm talking to you today because I want to talk to you that you've been born a different way. You've been born again. So what did he say to us right there? He said, if, verse 6, therefore if you received Christ Jesus as the Lord, walk in him. Walk like he walked. Talk like he talked. Love like he loves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abound with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. 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 You know, you can't thank God enough. I thank you. That's why when I took off running today, I just got happy because he's that good. He's that good. You see, God's given you a different DNA. See, the world is talking about identity. Identity politics. Well, I identify as this race. I identify as this gender, etc., etc., etc. They haven't paid attention to the fact that if you're identified in Christ, it's a different game. It's a different story. Your story's different. It doesn't have to be written by worldly principles or deceitful philosophy that says, that literally will try to cheat you out of who you are in God. Notice what it says here, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. It's called stolen identity these days when somebody takes your credit card. Do you know that the enemy wants to steal an identity away from the believer? He wants to steal identity away from a child of God through empty philosophy and deceit. That's how he operates. Notice what it says there. Lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Empty deceit. Empty deceit. Empty deceit. According to the traditions of men. Well, you know, this is what the scholars are telling us. Just because they went to an Ivy League school doesn't impress me. Do they know God? Do they know God? Do they know His ways of doing things? Because His ways of doing things are very different than the world ways. The tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Verse 9, this is the good news for all of us. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in Him. Oh, glory to God. I was born this way. Now when you renew your mind according to this, you start thinking differently. You start thinking, wait a second, I don't have to worry like Aunt Susie. Just because my family is a long line of worriers doesn't mean I have to. Because the Bible tells me to cast my care on Him, for He cares for me. Well, you know, my family was always sickly. So that's why I'm always sickly. Well, wait a second. You have a new family now. You have a different DNA. Come on, church. For in Christ, you've been made complete. Your identity is not wrapped up in what the world says your identity is. Your identity is in God. And He tells us, notice what it said there in verse 6, as you've received Christ, we started off with John 1:12, right? For as many as received Him, same word, as you therefore have received Christ, walk in Him. That tells me you have the ability to maybe not walk in Him. You have a choice. I don't think that's doing a disjustice to the, or a misjustice to the scripture there. You have a choice. It says here, for you're rooted, you're built up, you're established in the faith as you've been taught. In other words, walk in Him because you've received Him. You have a different DNA. Your identity is wrapped up in something totally different now. It's in Him. Who am I in Christ is different than who I am in Doug. You see, who am I in Doug gets wrapped up in the soulish and the body realm. And now I'm down on this level. I'm down here, right? But in Christ, I'm over here. Now, we accidentally read it in Ephesians 2. You're seated with Him in heavenly places. There's a different perspective of where you are. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I'm complete in Him. I have a new identity. It's an identity that is wrapped up in God. So He says here, He says, for in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him, verse 11, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven all trespasses. Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, hallelujah, which was contrary, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, there is a victory in identifying with Christ. Identity with Christ is different because you have a different DNA now. When you received Christ, you got all of this and more because he's that good. So maybe in your life, your soulish and body realm, maybe you've struggled with some areas. Maybe you've struggled with addiction. Maybe you've struggled with sexual issues. Maybe you've struggled with identity. All of these things that are over here in the soulish and the body realm. But in Christ, oh church, in Christ, I have a different DNA. I have a different DNA. I mean, we got people today who identify with being, well, I'm a Native American. Only to find out they have no Native American heritage whatsoever. And yet they said they identified with that. Even got a scholarship. Listen, if that happens in the world, how much more in Christ with what Jesus did, the reality, not a fiction, but and not just a good idea, but what Jesus did for me. Oh, church. Church. That shouting stuff, that'll get you up off your seat because you realize, wait a second, if he disarmed principalities, then every enemy that comes against me is a defeated foe. Every thought that is contrary to the things of God has to bow its knee to Jesus Christ. When we look at this, this is a different way to live. Identifying with Christ is very different. It's different than the world teaches. The world teaches to you, if it feels good, do it. That's what the world teaches. Empty deceit and philosophy and traditions of men will always steer you in the wrong way. But when we look, go to chapter 3 of Colossians. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him at his glory. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now, say but now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Come on, church. This is not legalism. This is not, oh, you've just got to be good enough. No, no. This is, I've been set free from those things.
Come on.
That's right. If I'm a Christian, I don't have to have potty mouth.
Come on.
Come on. I don't have to speak that way. In fact, if you receive Christ, so walk in him the way he walked. You don't have to. When the world kind of pulls you in its sway, you don't have to. Young people, you don't have to. Adults, and don't think that you are exempt. You don't have to. You don't have to think that way. You don't have to live that way. God's called you to live above this junk. There's got to be a standard. There's got to be a standard, and it's not something that can be created by legalism. You can't work it up yourself. That's religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about when you are in Christ, his DNA, his blood flows through you. And you have victory over sin and all the junk that the enemy throws against you. Smith Wigglesworth said something that was worth noting. Listen to this, church. Smith Wigglesworth was, if you've never heard of him, he was a Pentecostal preacher from England. He died, I believe it was in the late 1930s. He was part of the Pentecostal movement over in England, came to the States, and came to several prominent meetings here in the States. But listen to what he said. The reason the world is not seeing Jesus is that Christian people are not filled with Jesus. They are satisfied with just attending meetings weekly and reading the Bible occasionally and praying sometimes. It's an awful thing for me to see people who profess to be Christians lifeless, powerless, and in a place where their lives are so parallel to unbelievers' lives that it's difficult to tell which place they are in, whether in the flesh or in the spirit. Now that sounds a little harsh, and coming from an old line Pentecostal, it would be coming across a little harsh. But isn't it true that God's called us to live a little bit differently? To identify with what Jesus did on the cross? That's the good news. But one of the phrases that jumped out at me is that he said there is a place where Christians' lives are so parallel to an unbeliever that you can't tell the difference. Church, if you've received Christ, be rooted in him. Identify with him. The voice of the soul and the voice of the body are screaming pretty loud. We need to put a megaphone on the spirit. Let the spirit man be the louder one. No, we're not having the second piece of pie today. Your body's like, but I want it. But we're not having it today. But I want it. You're not having it. You're not having it. When you get to the point that your spirit man becomes the prominent one, you'll hear God's voice clearer. You'll know how to make the decisions that are important in life. You'll know how to say, oh, yep, I need to go here. I need to go there. Let me give you a personal example. For years, at our home, we have struggled with water coming in our basement. 18 years, lots of water. When it rains and everybody talks about, let me curl up with a good book and just let it rain. When it rains in my house, the Mitchell household has experienced great stress for a long time. Because when it rains, we can get hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, of gallons of water come into our basement. It's stressful. Last year, during the tropical storm, I took a lot of time praying and saying, God, I'm really tired of this. You know, sometimes you've got to be honest with God like that. And surrender again and go to him one more time. I had asked about 18,000 different opinions from contractors, from people, some of you in this room. And you've given me good advice. Sometimes we just didn't have the money to do that. So I prayed, and I remember Pastor Christine, I think, had to go to Florida to tend to family matters. And it is raining, and I see a lake forming in the front of my yard. And I am so stressed out. And I said, God, we are going to get this water situation fixed with your help, but you're going to have to tell me what to do because I've gotten 18,000 different opinions on what to do first. Because there's about three different ways you could attack the problem. I said, Lord, what are we going to do first? And I heard these words, get your gutters replaced. I thought, okay. So I bounced it off Ron. Ron, what do you think? Ron knows a lot about buildings. Ron says, well, you could try it. but you know, that's still a lot of water, but you could try it. So we saved up money, paid cash for a whole year. Every time it rained, stressed out, slept many, many nights in the basement with a wet vac on an old couch so that we don't get flooded. And back in June, we put gutters in.
So pretty.
6-inch gutters. I went from 4 to 6.
Seamless.
Seamless gutters. I'm going to take care of this water problem. And the whole time I'm saying, Lord, you know, I just believe this is right. Do you know, now it's true, we have not had a lot of rain. Very true. But some of the rain that we have had since we put those gutters on, not a drop of water came in my basement. Not since I did that. I don't think it's fully fixed yet, but the Lord told me a step. And, you know, God will tell you things. Come on. And if you are aligned with Him, He'll tell you things that sometimes people go, well, you know, I would have done it this way. I just put a sump pump in it. No, there's a step. You go by His step. So I went by His step first. And now other things are starting to fall into place. And we're getting other quotes, help to do some other things to ensure that the basement's dry. Why did I tell you that? I told you that because this is how this in Christ works. Okay? It's not some ethereal thing out here. When you're in Christ, you identify with Christ. And you listen to His voice, not just your whiny self. I've done that before. I've whined. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, on Monday morning, when my body doesn't want to get out, go to work, I have to tell my body, no, you're going to work. Right? You see, your body has a voice. Your soul has a voice. And when you're in Christ, something happens on the inside. Something happens that's supernatural. And your identity now is wrapped up in Him. But be careful, because empty deceit will try to rob you of your identity. There is not a day that goes by where I work that somebody doesn't come in and tell me that they had their identity stolen. This is true. Somebody stole my credit card. I got my identity stolen. I'm telling you something. There is a generation that the enemy is trying to steal their identity. And we've got a job to do. We got to tell them who they are in Christ. What did Jesus do? But you've got to know who you are in order to tell them who they are. You've got to be able to set them free. To be able to say, wait. You don't have to give in to the whiny body. Or the confused soul. Or the depressed soul. The anxious soul. No, you just walk with them and say, no, let me tell you, there's a different way to walk. There's a different way to talk. There is a different way to live. And it's to live above the fray that's down here. And it doesn't mean you're hateful. And it doesn't mean that you hate other people. It means I've been identified with Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Because He put to death the voice of His body. That's why fasting is a good thing. You ever fast something? You don't fast to get God to do something. You fast so you can hear His voice clearer. That's why you fast. You go without food so that you can be more attuned, because you want your spirit man over here to be the stronger one. You want your spirit man to say, yes, Lord, I'll hear you even when you whisper. Even in the middle of a crowded work environment, I've heard God speak in the middle of a Saturday where I work. Right there. Customers, everything. It was as if I was the only one. That's being in Christ. Don't let your identity be stolen. You've been given a new way to live. A new way to live. Set your mind. Verse 1. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. This is Colossians 3, verse 1. Which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. Put to death your members. What's he talking about? Tell your body and your soul to shut up. We don't even use that word in my house. We don't. But if you need to tell your body to shut up, you need to. No, we're going to do this. If you make a commitment, listen, I'm going to church. And then you stay up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning/Saturday night. Then your body says, I think we can sleep in. No, you made a commitment. No, we're going. We're going. Right? You see, your body has a voice. When we were in the British Virgin Islands, there was this young man, and he had just become a new Christian. And he was tempted to go back to this bar called the Bomba Shack. The world was enticing him. Some of his friends were calling him, go to Bomba Shack. Go to Bomba Shack with us and we're just going to go get high and get drunk. Go to Bomba Shack. And he said he started walking. He's going to Bomba Shack. And all of a sudden, his spirit, brand new Christian, don't go Bomba Shack. And he says, no, I want to go to Bomba Shack. My friends are there. I'm going to go to Bomba Shack. And all of a sudden, the voice got louder. It said, no, go church. Go church. And he said, no, I'm going to Bomba Shack. And he's walking. And he's walking to Bomba Shack. This is down the British Virgin Islands. He says, and I had this argument in my head. He says, and the voice was coming from here. Not up here. He goes, up here was saying, go to Bomba Shack with my friends. Down here, it was going, no, go church. Go church. Go church. Finally, he said, okay, I'll go church. And the other voice shut up. And he went to church. And he came up into our tent, which was the church. Our church was in a tent, a white circus tent. He came up into our church. And rededicated his life to Christ and started living for God. Shocked everybody. How did you get him to come to church? Supernaturally. Listen, your spirit man has a voice. Let that voice ring out in your life this week. Let it, young people. Don't let the world rob your identity of who you are in Christ. Whew. When you walk in, you're royalty. You walk into school, you're royalty. You're royalty. You walk in, you take authority. The demons will start to scramble like cockroaches when you turn on a light at night. When you walk in that kind of authority, the enemy trembles. He trembles. Church, as many as received him, gave the power, the authority to be children of God. Amen. And if you're a child of God, you've got everything going for you need. You're complete in Him, fullness in Him. You've got everything you need, everything you need. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet right now. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father God, that we can avoid having a stolen identity by just listening to what your word tells us. God, that we would truly understand and have the light turned on the inside of us to know the power that you've given us, the authority that lives down on the inside of us. Father, I pray, God, that you would help your people not just live in that authority, but Father God, that they would help others to find their identity, to find their true identity, their true self, the one that was created in the image of God, the one that is designed to give God glory, the one that is not designed to live according to the flesh and its desires, but God, one that is designed to live according to your ways and to walk according to your paths. Hallelujah. 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 If you have never received Christ and you're here today or you're watching online, I want to give you that opportunity. It's real quick and it doesn't have to be something that's dragged out. But here's the thing. You just got to believe in your heart that Jesus is who He said He is, that He died for your sins, and that He was raised from the dead for you. Receive Jesus into your life, and you'll have a new DNA. You'll have a new DNA. We're going to just pray together, all of us together. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead for me. I receive His forgiveness, and I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer with us and for the first time, we want to know about it. We'd like to send you a little gift explaining what the new birth is all about. And if you prayed that prayer and you've been a Christian, you've just been away from God, we also want to encourage you. Please contact us if you're watching online. If you're here in person, we're going to be available to pray for you and to encourage you and help you in your walk with God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Church, let's just speak over ourselves and this congregation as we depart from this place. We have a sending out verse. Let's speak this over our lives, over our families right now. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. You are dismissed. In just a moment, ukulele practice will begin. We love you. We'll see you next time.